going to call upon Brother Peter, chairman of our finance board, finance committee, to come up here and open our service in prayer this morning.
Dear God, thank you today for this wonderful day outside. The rain,
amen.
The farmers must love it, Lord.
Amen.
Just bless the crops, Lord. Thank you for the people here today. Lord, the fields are full, and we need harvesters all the time.
Yes, Lord.
Just ask that people come to you, Lord, and just bless our time together. Thank you for the worship we can have together. Thank you for the finances you bring in, Lord.
Amen.
Just bless Andy as he's moving Laura and Ty up north this weekend. Lord, just bless their marriage. And thank you for the time that we can have together here. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad that the Gallaghers are with us today. I don't know whether you want them to stand for that first song or not. What is it, sister?
It's the King of My Heart. So, yeah.
Yeah?
Why don't we stand for the King?
Why don't we stand for the King? Amen.
That you are faithful, Father. God, you say that you are more faithful than any person out there. We know that we can trust you in all things, God, because you are greater and you are stronger.
I just want to share a little bit. 2 years ago, I played the piano for the first time again after my operation. It was so tough to do. But you know what? Our God is greater. I believe that He took what little was left of me and He poured Himself into me. I thank God every day that I can play the piano, that He has done so much in my life.
'Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Well, saints, we're going to be breaking bread together. And I'm going to be sharing the Word of God in just a minute, but Danny Shea has a song. Why don't you do a little testifying about what the song means to you, sister, and then share it.
Okay, so I picked the song. It's called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. And I picked it because, because of one line close to the beginning that says, the life you knew in 1,000 pieces on the floor. Mm. And I picked that because being a newer Christian, I haven't been working this past month. I've just been kind of taking it off to rest. And it's given me a lot of time to reflect on all that God has done. And I look back at my life, and I see, you know, this broken old life that's just left behind. And and I think, I don't miss it, but there's people that had to be left behind and yeah. things like that. And so I think about those people, and I miss them, of course, so yes. sometimes. So this song is kind of about picking yourself up and saying, you know, I have to move on from that.
Mm.
And so, yeah, that's why I chose this song. So thank you. You're shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you that used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up and take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat again. Let it break and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. His love sees farther than you ever could. In this moment, heaven's working everything for your good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blesses me. See them come to Christ and use their talents for Jesus. Last week we had Maddie share in song, and this week Danny Shea. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 22. It's also found in Psalm 18, but I want to go to 2 Samuel because I like it in the context of where it was placed. It's near the end, of course, of Samuel. It's right near the end, and whether this is David that has added this on to Samuel, we're not sure. Whether it's the other author, we know it's not Samuel that put this in, because Samuel's dead, okay? So it's hard for, you know, him to add to the end of his book. So we're not exactly sure. Some think that perhaps Solomon added to the end and took a couple of the Psalms of his dad and put them at the end of Samuel. Not sure. But he took two. The writer took two Psalms of David. One at the very end of his life, which is in chapter 23, and one kind of earlier on in his life when he was young and fighting the enemies. And that's the one we're going to look at this morning. It's also known as Psalm 18. Did I say 81? Shame on me. Psalm 18. Verse 29 says this, and I want to just go this one little bit of the scripture here. Of chapter 22, verse 29. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Chose that one for this morning. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord... Now, you see, he moves from talking to God. I'm sorry, is this messing up your reading of the Scripture? But anyways, he goes from talking to God to kind of testifying out. And he often does that. For you are my lamp, O Lord. And then he just testifies, the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. One translation says this, you turn my darkness into your light. Ooh, I like that. I want to say it again. You turn my darkness into your light. For by you, I can run against a troop. I can defeat armies. By my God, I can leap over a wall. That is a picture of capturing a city, right? Because if you're over the wall, you're into where? You're into the city, right? You're capturing a city. There's an old-time chorus, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. You know, that's an old-time Pentecostal chorus. All right. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. I like the way that it says it in New King James. It is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and my power, and He makes my way perfect. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Ask, Father God, that You would just let the light shine. Your Word is truth. Your Word is light. Let the light penetrate the darkness that we have found in our walk through this world. Lord, any darkness in us, Father God, dissipate by the light of Christ. Let Your Word prevail in this place today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While the light is His, the darkness isn't. It's a good trade, friends. Trading our darkness for His light. I don't like to take ownership to the darkness, friends, but this is the way that the psalmist says it. This is the way that David explains it. You know, he says, I've been hanging on to darkness. It's like I have been possessing darkness. Whether I just picked it up along the way, whether I was born in sin with it, you know, however it came to me, somehow it has become an accumulative darkness that has my name on it. He says, when God's light comes into my life, I exchange that darkness for His light. He has ownership to the light. He is the one that invented light. Do you remember we're going back to Genesis from the very beginning? God created light. You notice that He never created darkness? He never had to. It was there, right? He never made darkness. He only created light. And He said it was good. Amen? And there was no life before there was light. And so at the very beginning, He creates light so that He can go on to the next phase, and that is bring in life. Life. You know, the Word of God has many things to say about light and life. Where does our darkness emanate from? Well, we can make it parallel to the flesh. We can make it parallel to the things of the natural that we get caught up in, which we are called in the New Testament to deal with the flesh, to allow His light to come in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul, he talks about this. He says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Deal with the flesh. The flesh is dark. In Galatians, Paul goes on further and he deals with this whole subject in a much more detailed manner about how the flesh is something that we need to be enlightened from. That it's the flesh that is the real enemy. That the enemy is the darkness that lurks within us. So if we can deal with that darkness, then we can deal with that darkness. You heard him saying, friends? You got to deal with darkness and you're surrounded by it all over the world, friends. You deal with this darkness, friends, and you can lick the other. You hear me? If there's darkness in here, friends, it needs to be dealt with first before you go messing with that. Because to darkness, you know, Jesus made this illustration. He said, it's like the blind leading the blind. He meant that about the religious leaders. Oh, they were all pretty and dressed up, and they were religious, and they had all kinds of good ideas. But he said, you know, it's the blind leading the blind. He says, you know where the destination of the blind when they lead the blind? He says they will end up both in the ditch because they won't be able to see. When you deal with this darkness, friends, then you can deal with the darkness in others. Jesus is the light of the world. In Him there is no darkness whatsoever. Why? There is nothing in Him that was not yielded to the Father. There is nothing in Him that has not been exposed to the light. Jesus was and is walking light. There's no darkness in Him. You experience more of God. You remember that song we were talking about, which is Jesus? You experience more of Jesus. What are you experiencing? More light. More light. More light. He is the light of the world. His very presence means the end of darkness. Where Jesus is, darkness dissipates. Therefore, if you're living, working, and worshiping in darkness, and you can worship in darkness, friends, because look at the Pharisees. Why might you not want the light? Because the light's really going to mess up your thing. If you're working and worshiping and living and doing everything in darkness, light will change everything because you will see things that, oh man, that you've been trying to avoid in the darkness, and light will expose it, and so many do not want more light because it will expose what they feel is already there. There are some phases to dealing with the darkness, and the first we want to expose is isolation. That's my first I, is isolation. My wife called me this week. She gets excited, you know. Every now and then calls me. Called me yesterday. Called me a couple of days ago about something that she experiences or hears or sees, and anyways, there was this CBC horticulturalist. She was listening to... You were listening to CBC. I just realized that. Just hit me right now. When have you ever listened to the CBC? Anyway, so I was talking. Just knew. Let's learn something about my wife. Secretly, she's listening to the CBC, turning it. Anyways, a horticulturist, she said, listen to this. This horticulturalist expert was fielding questions on a radio show this week, and he was dealing with all the different kinds of things they were calling in and dealing with the rotten red rhododendrons. At one point, he was giving good advice on this, that, and the other, different plants, different needs, you know. And he said this, and my wife said, this is just so profound. He said, remember, people, nothing grows in the dark. Because they were asking this question and that question, whatever. He says, you know, whatever your plant is, whatever your situation, he says, nothing grows in the dark. I mentioned that to somebody this week, and they said, oh, yeah, but mushrooms do. Okay, thank you, son. Just in case you're sitting there thinking that right now. I think that's a fungus, not a plant, right? All right, so come on. All right. So anyways, there is a limited time that something can survive in the darkness before it dies. There is a limited time that a marriage can survive in the darkness before it dies. There is a limited time that a spiritual life can survive in the darkness before it dies. Isolation is something that you don't want to get involved in, friends. You know, Corrections Canada, I noticed this a couple of weeks ago, Corrections Canada, there's a report that came out dealing with especially, I guess it was Ontario Corrections, about the dealing with the problem in the Innes Road Detention Center as well as others, the overcrowding, and how to deal with the difficult inmates in those situations. And one of the recommendations was to cease doing isolation, cease putting people in what used to be called solitary confinement. They're saying that it's a cruel and unusual punishment. Some of the prisoners that are in the detention center, and I'm not judging whether it is or not, I'm just saying from the report how that, you know, some of the prisoners end up 30 days, 60 days, some 3 months, some even have spent 6 months in isolation. And they're saying that you shouldn't do that. It makes people worse, not better. And I don't know about that, but I can see that it's a punishment. Isolation is a punishment, so why do people punish themselves by isolating themselves from the light? Why do you hurt yourself? Why do people draw away from the light? Why do they resist coming to the house of God? Why do they not want to be around certain individuals? Why do they resist it? It is punishing themselves. Their lack of spiritual growth comes maybe from a rejection of the light of God. Grace is shining. Grace is shining. Grace is shining, giving light. We want to be in that light. We want to grow in that light. The writer of the Hebrews, he saw that happening in his day. And in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he said, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Don't stop getting together. He said, especially as you see the day of the Lord coming. Get together. Because people die in isolation. Without fellowship, people die. The old phrase used to be, says, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's when there's love in here, friends. That's true. Absence can make the heart grow fonder. It's good for a husband or a wife to be apart for a little while. It'll say, be on a trip or something. When they get back, hey, you missed me. You missed me. But the reverse is true in our spiritual walk. Absence makes the heart grow colder. That's the proven thing, friends. I've watched it over and over and over again for many years. Absence from the house of God, absence from fellowship makes our heart grow colder. Sure, there are those rare examples. Those freaks of nature. Look, reading the National Post this week. In Slovenia, I had mentioned this creature in a sermon, I don't know when, a couple years ago or a year ago. Time just flies. Kids grow up, they graduate from high school. I don't know when I preach things, all right? I think it was, just a couple of weeks ago, then Shirley has it written in her Bible, and it was, you know, 3 years ago, whatever else I preached on this. But I remember using this illustration. Anyways, it's back in the news. The Slovenian blind Olm salamander lives deep within water-filled caves in Slovenia, former Yugoslavia. Anyways, it's all excited. These little salamanders, they grow for 100, they can be over 100 years old, these little salamanders. They eat once a decade. They mate perhaps once every 20 years. They eat once every 10 years. How do they live? Anyways, one out of every 10 or 20 years, they produce eggs, and they hatch, and then one egg out of those 250 little eggs manages to come alive. And they're born blind. And they never see. They hardly ever eat. They hardly ever mate. I say, let them die, friends. Do them a favor. Let them go extinct. The poor thing, they're only in 3 caves in Slovenia. You know, fill it, you know, kill the things off. Do them a favor. See, that's why I get in trouble with the left-wingers. You know, they say spend $200 million preserving those caves so that the blind salamanders can have a chance at life. I say, they're begging you to kill them. Kill us! You know, I mean, come on. So, okay, sorry, I get away, back to the sermon. All right. You know, sure there are the exceptions, friends. Some people manage to survive in isolation. But I prefer to be in a place where the light is shining. Amen. The second thing with the light is it's an invasion. It's interesting on this day, and I get the points, and then the illustrations come later, and I'm just amazed how God just speaks everywhere about these things. Light is an invasion force. This is June the 7th. When I'm working on the sermon yesterday, I realize I'm working on this sermon on June the 6th, the invasion of Europe. D-Day. On this day, today, on this day in 1944, 156,000 Allied forces, Canadian, British, Australian, and American, landed on the shores of Normandy. 156,000 that first day. By this time, by this day, Sunday morning, well, here we are Sunday morning, it was a Wednesday morning, I believe it was then, on Wednesday morning in 1944, those 156,000 a third were cut down, but they had managed by this day to take the beachhead. By this day, by the 7th, they had achieved all five beaches. Some had harder time in receiving them than others and taking them than others, but by this time, all five beaches had been taken. They had punched through the Nazi line of defense. There was still an awful lot of work to do. But the invasion is meant to punch through. It was not meant just to land on the beach, friend, to get mowed down. The whole idea, if you watch any of these movies, like, you know, watching the Saving Private Ryan, the whole idea was get off the beach. Don't stay on the beach. Get off the beach. Because the whole destination is not to stay there. It is to poke through the enemy's lines. And what does it say here in the Scripture? He says, I can run through a troop with the light that I receive from God, with your light, O Lord. When I get rid of my darkness, when I get your light, I can run through the troop. I don't have to stay on the beach and get plowed down and say, oh, look, I'm doing my job. Look at here. Now listen, I can run through the troop. I can run through the enemy's lines. The first enemy that I've mentioned already is the enemy of flesh. With your light, when I experience His light, I can run through a troop. We may focus on the enemy, but I want to focus this morning on the running through. Don't focus on the enemy. Just focus on the running. Amen, Brother Darren? Just focus on the running. Just go. Just run, Forrest. I mean, just run. I mean, just get on the running. You know, I just put that on his Facebook. I'm sorry. You know, running through. That's what the light enables. Hey, God's going to take care of the enemy, right? Because they're His enemy. When they exalt themselves against the church of Jesus Christ and against the saint of God, guess whose enemy they become? They become His enemy. Then running through is what God gives us the ability to do. Don't worry about the enemy. Run through it. You know? Remember you used to play those games? You used to hold hands? Maybe we'll do that later. Hold hands and you'd call Red Rover. We call somebody over and you call the littlest wimp that you can because they're supposed to come and run through your ranks and break through and they can't and you catch them. And I forget how it goes after that. But they join your team? Okay, oh, thank you. And anyways, God gives us the ability to run through it. Praise God by His light. We're to pray, not just pray, friends. It's good to pray. It's good to land on the beach of prayer. But friends, we want to pray through. Do you hear what I'm saying? We want to press through. We want to pray through. We don't want just to acknowledge that we have an enemy. We just don't want to see the enemy. We want to run through the enemy. Amen? It's very dangerous, friends, to run in the dark. You know, there's no invasion force. You know, in this day, you know, in June 6, 1944, they didn't land in the dark. They did do the paratroopers earlier on that night in the dark, but the main invasion force that came on the beaches of Normandy came at first light. You might say, well, isn't that kind of dangerous? The Nazi guns could see them on the beach and whatnot. Yes, but you weigh that together with 156,000 guys running and shooting in the dark. No, it doesn't happen, friends. You had to wait till there's light. It's very dangerous to run in the dark. That's why we have the Word of God. The Word, thy Word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. Look at verse 31 of 2 Samuel. Look at this text of Scripture. Thy Word, the Word of the Lord is proven. Proven. I love this word of the Hebrew. But let's just say this. Millions of people over thousands of years have proven the Word of the Lord. It's been tested and tried, but if I can just use the goblet this morning as an example of this word, because this word in Hebrew is a word that talks about pots. You say, what about pots? How does that... It means that it's been tried by fire. It's been put in the kiln. It's been proven. It's been tested. It has not cracked. In fact, in some, I like the NIV, it says this. He says, the Word of the Lord is flawless. Maybe that in your version as you read it there. Please look down and see. The Word of the Lord is proven. The Word of the Lord is flawless. In other words, you can examine it. You can look at it. You know, where's the crack in it? Where's the flaw in it? No, the Word of the Lord is flawless. We have a highfalutin theological term which is called the inerrancy of the Word. The inerrancy of the Word means without error, it's without flaw. It's been tested, it's been tried. You can look at it, it can hold water, it can do the work that it's called to do. It is flawless. Which enables us to take, not only go through the lines, but able to go to the next thing, which is to capture. Light has the ability not only to break through the enemy's lines, but also to leap over the walls, which is talking about capturing territory, taking territory back from the enemy. I was watching 100 Huntley Street this week, and this guy was on, and it was just a powerful... He's an RCMP forensic specialist, retired. Brian McConaughey. When he was in the RCMP and when he was dealing with his business in BC, he was dealing with the wackos. I mean, he was dealing with forensic stuff with the pig farmer, what's his name, and all that kind of stuff. He was into that garbage and had to look through evidence and whatever else. Anyways, a file was given to him of a man who was overseas, a Canadian man who was going overseas to Cambodia and doing so to abuse young boys. And there was a real line of North American people coming to Thailand and to Cambodia and using their money and their power and their prestige to traffic in children. Disgusting. Anyways, he's a believer in Jesus and he got so involved in this case that he decided when he retired that he was going to go and give himself to this ministry. He went to Cambodia and they went and found the place, the marketplace, the place where the boys, the children were trafficked. And he purchased it and now made it a place of safety for young children. He said this, and I love this quote. There's one thing that he said on the Hunter Huntley Street this week, and I wrote it down. If God didn't want us to move into dark places, He never would have moved into our hearts. I said, man, that fits what I'm preaching. If God didn't want us to go into the darkness, when we have conquered those things inside of us, when God's light has penetrated us with His Word, friends, what are we to do next? We're to go and capture the darkness. Because where we are, the light shines. Jesus not only said that He was the light of the world, He said, ye are the light of the world, because the light shines in us. Capture the darkness. Jonathan Edwards, the next quote I have on this, he said this, we must preach outside, he says. He said this hundreds of years ago, northern upstate New York, there's places where he preached. We must preach outside. It is the cooping up of ourselves in the sacred rooms. I think he's referring to church. The sacred room that has dampened the Word of God, which never was and never will be carried out to any great purpose without going into the highways and the hedges and compelling men and women to come in. Once you get the light, friends, go capture the darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read that, but just before I say that, before we can capture the territory outside, we must be sure that we capture the territory of our own hearts. I know I'm kind of repeating myself today as we draw close to communion time. You see, the table of the Lord is a place of light. And one of the purposes of the table of our God, one of the purposes of the table of the Lord, is that we might examine ourselves. That we might let the light so shine in us that it would expose any darknesses, that being strengthened in the sacrament, that's one of the old sayings of the old Methodists and Anglicans, being strengthened by the sacrament, we now go out. How does the sacrament strengthen us? We don't believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe in that it becomes literal blood and body of Jesus Christ. So how does it strengthen us? Because of the communion of the saints. Because of coming together and examining ourselves. Because we allow the light to shine. And what is the greatest light and what is the greatest truth of all time in history is that Christ came and died for us. That He shed His blood, that His broken body was broken for us. That is the light, friends. That's the truth. It's the messy truth. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, natural, they're not fleshly, but mighty in God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ." This is where light invasion becomes captivity. Where we become captivated by the light. I want the light to invade me, and I want the light to capture me. It happens at salvation, friends. It happens at salvation when the light comes in and floods in. Hallelujah! And guess what? We become not only invaded, but we become captured by the light. Isn't it good that you got captured? Isn't it good to be captured? And then, of course, it gives us the ability to whatever we face, whatever enemies we come against, we can run through it, friends. Friends, whatever it is that comes up and whatever is thrown at you, you can go through it. Isn't that a good thing to know? I can go through it. I can go through this. I can make it through this. Why? Because the Word of the Lord, which is proven, amen, friend, it's without flaw. It brings light into our life. And with the Word of God, we can make it through this. Oh, your neighbor said this, or even some Christian said, I just don't know what you can do. Don't matter what they say. You'll make it through. Guess what? When you get over that wall, you know, I've watched the pictures of the Marines, you know, on training, and you know, I think, you know, oh God, help me, Lord. Can I make it over that wall? John, you can make it over that wall, brother. I might get on your shoulders and you could push me over, amen. That's what fellowship is about, friend. But with the light of God, I can make it over that wall. When I get over there, it's done. You know, on the 7th, 1944. 7th of June, the war was won. Why is that, friends? Because the 6th, they invaded. And by the 7th, they had the beachhead. and that was the end. That was the beginning of the end. I realized, hey, a lot of stuff happened, Western Front, Eastern Front. But friends, when the Allied forces made it onto the beach, and when they defeated the defenses that were on the beach, and when they had that arrow, and they were coming through, and all the supply line behind that was pouring in military, and pouring in supplies, and pouring in tanks, armament. War was over. Friends, whatever it is you're facing today, when the light of God gets in, don't be scared. Go run at it with the light of God. You'll see it defeated. Because the price has already been paid. It's already paid. But friends, today, Jesus is the light. And He invites you to come and to embrace His body, which was broken for you. The night in which He was betrayed, He did take bread. And He broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Broken. Then also after supper, he said he took the cup. He said, "This is the blood. My New Testament, the New Covenant, friends. It's right here in this cup. And in the New Covenant is healing and deliverance and victory. Hallelujah. Everything you need to go through and conquer over the wall." It's proven, friends. It's proven. This cup has been tried and tested and is proven. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before You, Lord, and we ask that the light of the Holy Spirit would examine our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Lord Jesus, we ask, O God, that if there's anything that we have done that has been something that has brought enmity between us and our fellow man, we ask, Lord, that You would cleanse us, O God, and we pronounce it before You, Lord. God, we confess it before You, and Lord, we know that that's been paid for at Calvary. Lord, if there's been things that You have asked us to do, and Lord, in the hardness of our heart or our refusal to obey, that we have not obeyed You, Lord, forgive us. And give us that grace to take another stab at it tomorrow or today. Father, as we wait upon You today, Lord, reveal Yourself. In these moments, Father God, as we come forward for communion, Lord, just go through that process of sanctification again in our own hearts and lives. We thank You, Lord God, for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for Your shed blood. We thank You for the light and life that You give us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Taste and see. The Lord is good. Taste and see. The Lord is good.
Taste and see.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who finds refuge in Him.
Taste and see. The Lord is good.
We're going to sing that again a couple of times, but I want to pronounce a benediction on you today to go and let the light shine. Penetrate every bit of darkness and go out there and be light. the Lord God's blessing be upon you today. May you walk in light and truth, and may the word of the Lord God have its full power in your life today. May the God of peace bless you, and may His grace rest upon you favorably. In Christ's name, amen.